Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel, Russ Gellinger, and SI's Pat Forte. Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. Friday night edition, emergency.
Here we are.
No, Ross. Ross conveniently forgot his podcasting equipment. He is in State College. Last I talked to him, sounded to be a very crowded room he was in.
Interesting. Yeah. The rest of us are over here grinding at home.
Yeah. Ross is out there having fun in State College. Maybe Jim Harbaugh is with him because he may or may not have to work tomorrow.
You know.
And so we wanted to wait for the ruling on whether Jim Harbaugh is going to coach Saturday at noon or not. Maybe the game has already been played by the time you hear this. I don't know. We couldn't wait any longer. They were moving it from one judge who was a former Michigan, a Michigan alum who then worked at the school, to another judge who maybe was fewer reasons for recusal, but that person was also an alum. I don't know if being an alum is really you put UMass up against me, it's probably not helping.
Is there a single judge in Washtenaw County who isn't a Michigan law school alum?
I doubt it. Know? They got a good law school. That's the problem.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Exactly. Football's good, law school better. I don't know. So anyway, we don't know, and we're not waiting all night for this. My guess is they're going to get a stay. If they can't get one in Washtenaw County Court.
Right. Yeah. It's the ultimate home field advantage here.
Yes, they're good. They're good at home. They're good at home. All of which leads to some of like the, what the hell was the point of this? If this was all just going to be, you know, legally done, I don't know. Anyway, earlier in the day, and again, it was like a Friday afternoon news dump after 23 days, the Big Ten finally decides on a federal holiday late on a Friday, less than, 20 hours before Michigan's first important game of the year. They decide to suspend Jim Harbaugh. Tony Petitti, he drops a 3-game suspension, commissioner of the Big Ten, on the sportsmanship rules, all about Connor Stallions. We're not going to recap all of this. If you're listening to an emergency pod, you probably know the basics. The 3-game suspension, however, was just for game day, not during the week. So it's just 3 games. That would have been the Penn State game, the Maryland game, the Ohio State game, also which left the possibility that Tony Petitti, if Michigan won all those games, regardless of Harbaugh there or not, Harbaugh could coach the Big Ten title game and then receive a trophy from Tony Petitti at the end.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just, college football, and it's, you know, it's a colorful sport, and this was a colorful day of the annals of this sport. I know there's many... A lot of angst against particularly amongst Michigan and Ohio State fans. But for the rest of us, this was absurdity at its finest. Pat, I your thoughts on the floor is yours on what went down with the ruling. Maybe we'll just start with that. What did you make of Tony Petitti's decision to suspend Jim Harbaugh as he did?
Yeah. Well, it was slow in coming. I mean, it's 3:31. PM was the timestamp on the announcement on the website on Friday. The original maybe it could come Thursday, and then it didn't. And then so surely Friday, 9, 10, 11, 12. Oh, the team's leaving Ann Arbor at 1? They'll know by then. Oh, no, they won't. Team's getting on the plane at 3? Surely they'll know before then. No, they didn't. Team's in midair. Word comes down from the Big Ten on the suspension. So it was slow. It's interesting. I think there was a lot of ebb and flow of what was going to be expected here. But this is, I think it seems to me, Tony Petitti stuck to his guns of what he was not necessarily threatening to do, but warning Michigan he was going to do with a multi-game suspension, 3 games, rest of the regular season. It's a very significant suspension. This is not getting off light by any stretch. Even if you do get to coach the practices, which It's interesting. The NCAA is closing that loophole with their suspensions in, I think it's 2024. At least that's been proposed. I don't know whether it's finalized. Where if you're suspended for three games, you're also suspended for all the coaching leading up to those games. This is that loophole still open for Harbaugh. He's already done this dance. He missed the first three games of the year, but got to coach the practices leading up. So I think this is probably survivable for Michigan. It is embarrassing. It's maddening for the team and the fans and people who think that Harbaugh is being wronged and that this is an overreaction and a rush to judgment and a lack of due process. My personal feeling is that there was enough evidence there to take action, and Michigan wasn't going to take action, so the Big Ten did. It's risky. You could argue it isn't the right thing to do, but I really ultimately don't have a huge problem with it. A lot of people do have a huge problem with it, enough so that they're going to court to try to reverse it.
So there's sort of this story, like most stories in college football, it's you're supposed to be either like all for one side or all for the other. And this is not the podcast for that.
Nope.
You're not your morning talk show, your hot take, your this or that. I'm sorry. I'm not going to scream that Jim Harbaugh is the persecuted. I am not going to scream that Jim Harbaugh deserves to be banned for life. I read a column earlier this week. They should be banned from the playoff as a team.
Really?
Yeah. I've heard that one too. I think that one's making the rounds. My man Greg Doyle, friend of mine, I just disagree with the opinion. It's not, but you know, this should bar JJ McCarthy from the Heisman. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. If he goes like 30 or 35 in the Penn State game for 400 yards, you know, it's not the podcast for that. And I think that's why you guys listen. I think it's actually so bear with me. Okay. Bear with me. If you're going to do this suspension and you read the Big Ten's, oh my Lord, this is the worst thing that has ever befallen. I mean, if you read their opinion, I don't really know what to say. I mean, they talk about this is just egregious cheating, player safety, integrity, you name it. They are over the top in their description of what occurred here on what Connor Stallions did. And that is their take on it. If you're going to do that, how the hell does a three-game suspension where the guy coaches all week? I don't think it's a significant suspension at all. It isn't great for Michigan. I give you your embarrassment factor, but I think Michigan's pretty embarrassed for the last. It doesn't matter what you penalize them. Everyone's going to say the same thing. It doesn't matter what happens from here on out. I covered Deflategate with Tom Brady. It was the stupidest thing of all time. The NFL did not understand ideal gas law. Troy Vincent and the Indianapolis Colts were convinced that ideal gas law did not exist. They felt the footballs were not inflated the right way. They went bananas. The NFL leaked a bunch of stuff. Turned it into a total circus. I sat in federal court where we basically argued, is Tom Brady good at football? The NFL's position was Tom Brady was a cheat and this is how he won. The other side was Tom, it just didn't matter. I think Tom proved he was pretty good. It was stupid. These things go crazy. So you just kind of get to this point. But if this is your thing and you're like, yeah, just sit for a couple games. Yeah, you're not there on game day. And they're really matching. And I don't know what the point of the suspension was.
Yeah, I think game day against Penn State and Ohio State, pretty significant.
Maybe. All right. I mean, I think if he had been suspended for 3 weeks,
that's more significant. Yeah.
Much more. Harbaugh is the weak guy, the culture guy, the game plan guy. He's a very good football coach, but he's not the play caller. He's not this or that. I just didn't think if you were going to punish him like the Big Ten said, then there's the Big Ten. So don't know, whatever. If I don't know how you're appeased by this. I also think there's kind of this weird bit where it's like, so let's say this, I don't know what's, like we said, we think he will coach. You suspended him and did it. And there's a whole bunch of stuff I can pick apart in this thing. Fairly knowing that you were going to lose the stay, right? I don't think this is any doubt to the Big Ten. They weren't going to win the stay. Now, maybe they won it. I don't know. But so it's kind of pointless operation anyway. But I just think you go longer or whatever. I don't know what I was trying to say. If you're Ryan Day, you want to play this guy. I think. Maybe you don't. But like, it doesn't help if Michigan beats you without him, or like, it's just, I would have gone with a different penalty. I would have gone harder if I was as angry about this as Tony Patini apparently is. I would go harder on that, because reading their letter, which is good, it's a 13-page letter, it's good, but there's a lot of stuff in here that's just like, you know, I mean, they italicize integrity so many times, and it's like, have you, this is college football, you know. So I don't know, I didn't think it was that bad. Did you find any issues with, my issue more would be with the process of this, but that would be my thing. I guess go harder on them if you have to. I just don't know what the point was, considering these three games, and you motivate the Michigan team and all that stuff. I don't know what the point of this really was. Well, this is the penalty, but that's my take. It wasn't hard enough.
I will say, does a coach matter in a big game? Kansas probably wished Bill Self had coached last year in the second round when they lost to Arkansas. Kansas was the higher seed, or, you know, supposed to win that game. He didn't coach. He had missed several games because of a heart issue. They lost that game. They were eliminated. So I do think having a coach in a big situation does matter. I mean, maybe Sherrone Moore or whoever takes over is perfectly capable, but I do think that's an issue. As far as the the whole procedure and everything, I mean, it was messy. It was bound to be messy. This was not going to be satisfying to anybody. You know, I it was interesting the way this played out extremely publicly. Everything got leaked the whole time. You know, when the Big Ten coaches were mad, we heard all about it. When the ADs were mad, we heard about it. When Michigan was fighting back, we heard about it. And so it was all thrown out there. And Tony Patini was in a excruciating spot. And I don't have a big problem with the ruling, the process, the whole thing. And maybe some of the, you know, like the sportsmanship policy it's squishy, no doubt about it. Like my default thing, I guess, Dan, is like, I don't care that much about which box it fits into, which lawyers do care. And they probably should, you know. Does this violate this or that or whatever? I know this. Well, I don't know this, but I strongly suspect that Connor Stallions was cheating his ass off on behalf of Michigan, and they were exposed, and there's evidence to say so, and there needed to be a penalty, and I think there needed to be a swift penalty because it affected this season, and so now there is a penalty. Is this the right penalty? Again, we can argue a long time, and a lot of people will. And you can equivocate, and you can say, well, what about this that's also sharing signs and that, and, you know, but Michigan's busted. Pay a price.
Yeah. All right. So, I think that the Big Ten took if I was Tony Bassetti, what I would have done, and I think what a lot of more experienced commissioners would have done, is when this comes out, you go, look, we don't really have a way to punish. We can't handle this scandal. We're not equipped for it. This sportsmanship thing, we're gonna have to jerry-rig it.
Yep.
And try to step in, and we're gonna have to step on the toes of due process. They're claiming they're not, but they really are. Again, I've said on the other pod, due process isn't gonna save Michigan. They're guilty. But you are never wrong following due process, and you are always wrong when you do not. You may not feel wrong now. It might have been very satisfying at the moment to be like, hey, we got Jim Harbaugh. ha ha, this guy's a jerk. We don't like Michigan, whatever it is. We're standing up for integrity. That is the best you will ever feel about this decision. Because once you break due process, you broke it. And this will haunt them or be a pain in the neck for a long, 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 long time. So it's like, is this worth it to get it? Is this, if you're going to go through all of this, do you just suspend a guy for 3 days? And in a case that you're pretty sure you're going to lose anyway? Like, there's a lot of damage got done. What he should have done is say, look, we don't have a way to do this. I'm new here. We need to rewrite our rules. But until then, it's an NCAA thing. There's no so we're punishing Michigan for cheating in the first 7 games, and the punishment is Jim Harbaugh doesn't catch the last 3 games. I don't know, how did we come up with that? What, it just doesn't really feel like, if it's as bad as you say, then maybe you should vacate the games or overturn. Like, I don't know, right? Like, there's just a disconnect. It was like he's trying to thread all the needles. I think the biggest, go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Like, there was no easy solution. And like, truly, the thing to do would be, yeah, declare him no contest or forfeits for the games where Connor Stallions was involved. But that gets into a whole other deal.
Well, so, I mean, they're declaring that they just have to stand up. That the integrity is incredible. Is it or isn't it? There's a lot of statements in here. So I'm like, all right, if you're that serious about it, then let's go. Instead, it was like, eh. And it's like, yeah, we're probably going to lose this case anyway. I think he wanted to lose the case because it gets him out of it. One of the things that I think the start of this is to be abundantly clear, Connor Stallions clearly cheated, and Michigan deserves to be punished in some way for this. I would suspect Jim Harbaugh will be suspended extra for this. Does it have to be this year or is it going to be next year? Okay, whatever. Now, part of the screaming, I guess it was this. They come in and they mention this. And this was crazy at the beginning. And I think this is another weird situation. That the NCAA came to the Big Ten and started howling about this and coming, including the NCAA president. It is rare and outside the NCAA's typical protocols for the NCAA to disclose information about an active investigation. So the NCAA is like, look, this is going on. They were alarmed. We also know the NCAA enforcement staff and parts of the infraction committee are at absolute war with Jim Harbaugh. Now, that's his own fault for picking a fight with those guys. Mm-hmm. But they're fired up about everything Jim Harbaugh does. Is that fair? I don't know. The NCAA president arranged for and participated in the call. They called it extraordinary. Underscoring not only the severity of the allegation, but the immediate impacts. Charlie Baker got in on this. He's a brand new NCAA president. NCAA presidents will get in on this stuff. It's extraordinary. Is it extraordinary because Charlie Baker knows all the protocols over the last 50 years and made it and decided this is so important it's extraordinary? Is it because Charlie Baker don't know what he's doing because he's new on the job and he got all excited about it?
Fair That's question.
Not a good basis for how important this was.
Fair it question. But I also, you could look at it this way. Charlie Baker has watched NCAA protocol suck, and we've all watched it suck, and maybe it's time to change the protocol and have a more proactive president. I don't know whether that's what happened here, but, you know, the NCAA days of the NCAA sitting back and letting their protocol unfold over the course of, you know, eons have not served the association well.
It has not. But this is just the start. It's extraordinary. Oh, my God. Even the NCAA president thinks this is important. This it has no bearing on anything. I don't care what Charlie Baker thinks about this. He's been on the job for 7 months. But the Big Ten put huge placement in that. And then all of a sudden they're doing, now, again, it is brazen, egregious, the actions of Connor Stallions. But I felt like they all rushed into this saying, Harbaugh knew. We're going to get Harbaugh. This is unbelievable. And it hasn't panned out quite that way, but the way they ran in and had to tell everyone, oh my goodness, Michigan might have your signs. They all got each other's signs. Yes, Michigan got their signs. And yes, they used an unusual and over the top way to get those signs, and they should be punished for it. But they're not the only team in the game who has the other team's signs. And that will forever stick with me. I get there is a different way, but they act like, oh my God. And so I just felt like they just ran into this. The conference call with the coaches, 13 coaches ganging up on Tony Petitti to gang up on Jim Harbaugh. A conference call. I asked a couple of people in the SEC, would Greg Sankey ever hold a conference call with 13 coaches to talk about Nick Saban? Are you kidding me?
Right. No.
This is not how you handle it. They're all screaming, this is the worst thing on earth. I think they went in with the, and then it became extremely confrontational between the Big Ten and Michigan for a variety of reasons. The Big Ten and media, the Big Ten and the leaking, all the different things that goes on all over the place. It became very confrontational, and it was just sort of like, this is not the way. You could be the biggest Buckeye fan in the world, and you could be, you wish Jim Harbaugh, like I said, if you're this serious about it, ban him for the year. But this is not how you want your conference office working. Because all of a sudden, everyone's yelling at this guy from Charlie Baker, who doesn't know anything, and a bunch of football coaches who aren't thinking anything through, and everyone's declaring it the worst scandal on earth. And so where's the, and we're just going to, because everyone's screaming so loudly, we aren't going to follow our protocols and due process, and we're going to do this extraordinary measure. This is where I have trouble. Not necessarily the penalty, but that.
Yeah, I mean, I do think personally we've had this big changeover in leadership in college sports to a bunch of people who are not super well-versed in campus politics, haven't worked, you know, closely with administrators, haven't been college administrators. And so you do, I like these sort of situations, you're like, okay, what would Sankey do? WWSD. And I would probably hew towards that or towards Slive, the other WWSD. Right. And they would not have handled it this way. I'm not sure, like, I wasn't a big fan of the way Mike Slive handled the Cam Newton thing, which was basically, here's what we're going to do. Mississippi State, you're going to disassociate this guy that was involved, and we're going to tell Cam's dad to get lost, but otherwise we're basically stonewalling. But still, that was expedient for the conference, and it got the conference through it. And so,
and a national title.
And a national title. Something along those lines, a little more interpersonal, low-profile interactions probably would have been better off for Petitti and for the Big Ten than having, yes, the conference call that then everybody leaks across America.
A conference call that got leaked with five different coaches anonymously blasting the situation right. in an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, no, the leak that was like a setup. Tony Petitti walked into a setup. Mm-hmm. You sit around and have dinner with coaches, and they all they do is complain about they got screwed on this recruit, they got screwed by this ref, they got cheated on this out of this job. They got, I mean, these are not well-adjusted people. There is no opinion on anything in Ann Arbor that I would want to hear from the other coaches in the Big Ten, the same way I wouldn't want to hear Jim Harbaugh's opinion on any of their things. Yeah. It's not going to be rational.
Right.
And
it's
so,
all wildly biased.
If you read this thing, it's like, well, we had to do something because Charlie Baker's on the phone and all the coaches are yelling and the ADs are yelling. Oh my God, this is egregious. And you go, well, hold on. So, Sean, play this clip. This is from Brett Bielema, our guy. We love Brett. Love Brett Bielema, Illinois head coach. And he's talking at a press conference from Illini guys, the cover Illinois, the video. But this is at a press conference. Just play this little clip. He is going to talk about sign stealing and Connor Stallions here. and it's about 30 seconds. Let's play this.
In 1992, when I became a GA, I remember my mission in 1992 was to find out when they signaled personnel to go on the field.
Okay.
So that's how I started as a young assistant GA. And you gather information every week that way, which is totally legal, right? Like we share, we got buddies that play at other teams or conferences, right? But if something was going on off campus, like it's been noted, right, that they were at our games before we played that game last year, that opens up a whole, that's sickening. It's disgusting, right? But I'll let them figure that part out.
Okay, so figuring out the signs, so this is the thing, right? Sign stealing is legal. Figuring out the signs, personnel groups, all that, legal. Sharing, we all share. He just admits it right at the thing. We're passing around our notes. Got buddies, if you're popular, maybe if all the coaches come from one coaching tree, right? They're passing around their notes on the sign stealings, the personnel groups, whatever. Perfectly good. Connor Stallions, disgusting. I'm not going to say what Connor Stallions did wasn't disgusting. I'm just saying the vast sharing that Brett Bielema doesn't care about because they've been doing it for 30 years is a heck of a lot closer to it than that's nothing. But in their mentality, I don't think there's a single judge or lawyer that would go through all this and not say, wait a minute, you're using advanced scouting. You're teaming up to beat a team. You're helping your friends. It's not sportsmanlike. It's not fair play. It's not the integrity of the contest. You're just saying that's cool because we all do it. But this is disgusting. We have to step in. Charlie Baker's on the phone. Oh my God, we better have a conference call and get yelled at by Brett Bielema and all these guys. I think that's a heck of a lot closer. A thin line. Not this gap of all good, worst thing ever, crush this guy. And so when you're listening to those guys, that's my opinion. I think there is a counter argument to what Brett Bielema is saying. But is Tony Petitti talking, is he having a conference call with any of those people?
I mean, yeah, look, we are definitely talking about different degrees of the same thing or a similar thing. But again, like, I don't know how many people I've talked to in the course of the last 3 weeks or whatever this has been going on. And not a single soul has said, what Connor Stallions did was okay, or we've done it, or I would even think of doing that. Like, what Connor Stallions did was basically unprecedented. Maybe it's been done. Maybe that'll come out. Maybe that'll be part of Michigan's response and all this. Well, we know this school did it. But to my knowledge and to a lot of other people's knowledge, some of whom are Harbaugh fans, backers, former staffers, whatever, they're like, oh, my God, no way would I ever think of that. No. And so there is a line there, and it was crossed. And
absolutely.
Piper must be paid for that. Now, okay, yes, the level of scandal factor, I think you're right that there was the rush into this, built it up. And then the outrage built it up, and there's probably not a huge difference here, but there is still a difference. And
but,
I will.
But they're listening to someone saying it's the biggest difference.
Biggest, like what?
One's disgusting. One's I'm just going to admit it at a press conference.
Right. Well, yeah, but
But this is who literally this thing says they listen to. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't really think that's a great answer. Not in a legal sense. Not in an intellectually honest sense. I get it. I don't think what Brett Bielema was saying was a bad thing. I wouldn't punish anyone either. I wouldn't have weighed in. But I just can't imagine how you take one of those as we need to re-rig our rules and do all of this stuff and make this big demand, because a lot of people who either have bias or a lack of perspective or don't really know what they're doing or screaming about it. I just think there was a poorly thought through thing. I'll give you another example. Okay. The conference is unmoved. Where is it? Let's see. Another factor the commissioner may consider is quote, any injury or damage that results from the offensive accident. Separate from the reputational integrity, all that. It's damage from past and ongoing. All right. Physical injury is also a significant concern here. While the conference is currently not aware of any physical injuries that resulted from the impermissible scheme, numerous coaches and athletic directors from other member institutions expressed concern to me about the increased risks of injury to student athletes resulting from the scheme. I have a responsibility to give serious consideration to those concerns. I find it credible that impermissible advanced scouting increases the risk of injury to student athletes, because if you know what play your opponent is running, then you also know where your opponent's players will be on the field. Although the university attempted to downplay and disregard these safety concerns in its response, I am not willing to do so. Okay, so if knowing the opponent's signals increases the risk is a safe player safety thing, right? I mean, this is one of the basis for going crazy. What about all the teams that have the signs? Everyone's got the sign.
Yeah, look, that was a stupid argument. In my opinion, that was like,
is Brett Bielema coaching dumb. Saturday? Should he coach? He just said he's got all this, they're sharing them
again. Of course, he should. I'm less interested in pointing fingers everywhere other than Ann Arbor, but that was a stupid argument. Okay, that was a bad argument for why this should be enacted. I think that player safety is no different because people know your signs or don't know your signs.
Well, if it is. If this is such a concern, then what about all the others? This is this thing just doesn't fit. If you could get past the like I said, I think they should have punished them more. But if you don't, it's like, well, what is this? So if you steal the sign one way and not the other, the guy gets hurt? Come on.
Bad argument.
Bad argument. This is their arguments. This is what you're worried.
It's almost as bad as Michigan arguing that because they beat Michigan State and Purdue by 38 points instead of 34, yes, that it's a clear signal that their cheating didn't work.
That was the worst argument of all of these.
It was terrible. A lot of bad arguments going around.
Like I said, Michigan's guilty. Michigan should be punished. Harbaugh should be suspended. Harbaugh should be suspended. So Harbaugh, and then the other desire, it's not in here. I'll give him that. They didn't put it in there. But one of the big things was, well, Harbaugh, you got to suspend him this year because he could go to the pros. That's not an answer.
No, it's not an answer.
Anybody can stop coaching.
Right.
That's not a reason. But I just, if you read this thing, it is clumsy. It's nothing to do with not punishing Michigan. I don't care if Jim Harbaugh coaches this year or not. It's not about that. You got to look ahead at how your conference is acting and you go, good Lord, because it's going to be your school next on this. And so some of these things are just like, come on, man. That's the thing. Not an argument.
Well, your school is always next, right? I mean, it's always something's always going to happen.
Something's coming.
But, yeah. The something you hit on there is the NCAA, you know, crime and punishment system is so flawed that they're always trying to catch up to the people that elude them and the schemes that elude them. And that's why we have head coach strict liability. And that's why it's like, oh, we can't let that coach go to the pros like Pete Carroll did and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. So we've got to do something now because there's always a way around the rules. And so there's a constant catch-up cycle that never really quite works. I mean, it's amazing, really, that you can get so many relatively intelligent people together and try to come up with a way to govern sports, and they just can't figure out how to do it.
Yeah, it's way too much emotion and all of that in there.
And no small part of it is listening to complaining coaches.
Listening to complaining coaches is a horrible, horrible precedent. Deeming, you know, some of the precedents they came up with on here are just not, it's just not, I don't know, man. They're going to regret some of them. People are going to be screaming over every single thing. Is it as bad? Like I said, is it as bad as Connor Stallions? No. But like, if Harbaugh gets three games, what happens when it's a third as bad or two thirds as bad or half as bad? What do you do? I don't know.
Right.
The way to do this is stay the heck out of it. And I know that's not That's the pragmatic way, not running around being like, we're going to be the do-gooders. That's it. There's integrity. Man, it is a. I just don't think that this was well handled at all on that thing. And, you know, we'll see goes. Now, I want to get to, you got any more on this?
Oh, I got a couple things. Okay. I don't know. Where are you going?
No, whatever. What you speak, and then we'll get to, maybe I want to get to the Mike Rosenberg report too. That's fun.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. But like, just the like, if they do suspend, if Harbaugh's suspension sticks and he doesn't coach us these three games, we're talking about an undefeated team that's going to play half of its regular season without their head coach. Like, what sort of preposterous thing is this? It's crazy. And they, what if they win them all and they're 6-0 with him and 6-0 without him, and you're playing in the Big Ten championship game and then you're going to the playoff? Like, just the overall storyline is mind-blowing of how all this has happened, and the stakes involved and the multiple investigations. And we thought it was big stuff when he missed the first three games. Oh, boy, wait till he misses the last three. I can't even imagine.
Well, and I would go on that to reverse back. The Michigan complaint that, well, we're going to miss the Penn State and Ohio State game. Hey, tough break. That's how the calendar works.
Yeah, no, that's I mean, that's
not an argument either. As sure as it's like, we better get this guy, he might take another job, which every person in the face in America is allowed to do, is not a reason to punish Jim Harbaugh now. That's a stupid idea. That makes, it's not intellectually sound. Justice, well, wait a minute. We got to play in our hard games now. Well, tough break, man. That's how
you get, you didn't schedule any earlier. Oh, well, this
well,
is what
whatever.
You got now.
That's how the cookie crumbles. You're going to have to go beat Ohio State without him. I mean, you know, that was there are many dumb arguments that have taken root in this thing. I think that's my hardest part, is most of the stuff going on is just dumb arguments getting batted back and forth between these sides. And you're just like, my God, we have just completely lost the point here. Is anyone thinking anything through? All right, let's get to this. Mike Rosenberg threw a little fun into it. You know, certain factions of the Board of Regents that are the talking about, it's so, the relationship with Michigan is so, and the Big Ten is so, I can't say it, whatever, irreparable, whatever.
Irreparable, yeah.
Irreparable. They may leave the conference. Obviously some saber rattling. There's a lot of feelings right now, but Michigan's pissed. The way they felt they were communicated with, the way the tones, the, I don't know, the whole nature of it from start to finish has been not really good. They didn't like that they heard about it in the media first, or at least some of them did. I don't know what the whole deal would be, but you know, could, I don't know, your thoughts on this? I mean, I imagine it's saber rattling, but who knows, man?
It's juicy saber rattling for sure. Yeah. And in this day and age, what the hell? What does it matter what conference? You know, you might as well change. But I will say, like, this is so classic. This is, you know, that, like, the same thing with Ohio State, when Ohio State basically pushed its way into the Big Ten championship game when it didn't play enough games in this COVID season in 2020.
Yeah.
These are the two schools that always get their way, that are used to getting their way, that look down on the rest of the conference. And so all of a sudden, wait a minute, we're not getting our way. Oh my God, we're leaving. We're out. Forget it. Only been here since 1896. Now we're going. No, we're mad, and we're Michigan, so we have a right to be mad, because you need to suck up to us. Richard Gere, pretty woman, we need a lot more sucking up going on here. And I guess they're not getting the sucking up. I mean, these things kill me. This is like Florida State. We're leaving the ACC. The ACC would be nothing without us. Well, have you left yet? No, you haven't.
They can't get out.
Yeah, let's wait and see.
What is the, like, I undoubtedly, right? Everyone's mad. But, like, this is Michigan. It's not the old Big Ten anymore. 18 teams in this thing. They only care about, like, three of them. Like, I don't think Michigan cares. They care about Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan State. And I think the whole rest of them, they don't even know any of them. I don't think Michigan cares about any of these other schools. And like, what's a conference anymore? It's not like, well, you can't leave. The thing that'll keep them probably in the Big Ten, or the most reasonable thing to keep them in the Big Ten, would be they have, like, you know, this eight-figure research, you know, partnership and stuff like that. But
yeah, you know, think about maybe some academics
that might matter and stuff like that. But yeah, but let's play the game, because it is kind of fun and they're serious. Could they go? Would the SEC take Michigan? Or are you better? I mean, look, listen, Oregon and Washington and USC, Cal is in the ACC. Yeah, okay. Yeah. They're, don't give me like, oh, that's a crazy idea.
No, I know.
This is Michigan. But top five, everything. Top five, money, TV ratings, tradition. I mean, this is not Florida State even. This is Michigan.
Top five, except for in national championships. They don't win any of those.
Well, nobody wins them. Alabama wins them all. Mm. Well, who else you getting that's winning national championships? Ohio State won one.
Yeah. Ohio State's won a couple since Michigan won one.
Okay. Michigan has not won. They won half of one. Yeah,
they won a half of one in 1997. Okay.
Other than national titles, they make money. They change TV. Texas ain't done crap. I guess they won one, but
it did.
Texas has driven all of this stuff. Michigan's the other. This is the Midwest Texas, I guess. I don't know. I don't know whether you want Ohio State or you want Michigan. This is Michigan. Everybody would go crazy for Notre Dame. Would the SEC, let's just play the game. Yeah. Would the SEC take Michigan?
Well, of course they would. But
well, there you go.
I mean, but if you're Michigan and you're going to do this, like if you're going to pull this just mega power play arrogance act, then you're just going to go independent. That's what you're going to do.
Yeah, like, I think so.
We are officially the Conference of Michigan, just like Notre Dame is the Conference of Notre Dame, except Notre Dame still needs five ACC games. I think Michigan, if they were to leave, they're just like, goodbye, all conferences. We can do this alone. And they probably could and probably would do okay, you know? But I do not – the idea of Michigan, you know, playing home and home with Auburn and Mississippi State and everything is just tremendous. I don't see it happening.
I mean, it would be fantastic in some ways. I mean, I don't know if you lose the Ohio State game, but, like, this is the boringest damn season in Michigan football. Yeah. It's not boring, actually. It's been quite eventful, but all because Jim Harbaugh can't behave. Right. And this whack job Connor Stallion showed up. And, I mean, there's a million reasons it's been interesting, but, like, Michigan could go independent. Like, Michigan, like, would you rather have – I'm not saying it works this way, but if you're NBC, would you rather have Notre Dame or you rather have Michigan?
I don't know. I think it's a jump ball.
But there are many other, like, yeah, I agree.
No, right. Those two. Well, look, there was a lot of theorizing that Texas could go independent. And as you said, Michigan's the Midwest Texas. Like, there's a few schools that could do it. Those are three of them. Notre Dame, Michigan, Texas. Ohio State could probably do it. But, yeah, Michigan could absolutely go independent.
I think there's also a thought, like, look, in like 5 years, we're just going to have like a super conference anyway, right, and we're going to be part of that anyway. So, you know, it's just one of the reasons why I don't know why many of these schools wanted 18 in their Big Ten, because there's, you can see the splits, you can see the fissures.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's that is one thing that's kind of precious, is the commissioners and everything, like, we would never change the actual long-term member, you know, the legacy members. No. Oh, but I think maybe you would.
I just read a 13-page document about integrity. Integrity.
Yeah.
In college sports.
Right. And Michigan has used the word integrity in everything they've written
in the last
couple of months.
They sure
Santa
have.
Ono. We're committed to integrity. Oh, except for Connor Stallions.
Well, Connor. Connor. Can you
is that
imagine
him on that sideline in disguise? We have too much integrity.
Let's play the whole game out. Can you imagine that this guy, Connor Stallions, actually just straight up 100% lone wolf, acted on his own, sends the mighty Michigan football program toppling, ends up causing Bedrock University to leave the Big Ten and start the process of super conference college football? tarnishes the name of one of the great coaching families in the history of the game. Yeah. Potentially tarnishes a national championship, gets Greg Doyle to not vote for J.J. McCarthy. All because this guy and his manifesto? Can you imagine how unbelievable?
Gets that Schuster guy to boycott Disney, too?
Guys are going to Six Flags, has a boost in enrollment because all the Michigan fans follow Schuster and start going, not enrollment, attendance.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about these scandals. The more this has gone on, the more this reminds me of Lene Kukua and Manti Te'o.
Yeah,
because Deadspin wrote, oh, he probably knew, and it was all to pump his Heisman, and everyone was convinced one thing, and then all of a sudden 5 years later you're watching Netflix and you're like, holy crap, it was like that was it. He got duped. There was just one guy on the phone acting like oh my god. You can't rule it out. It's just like, we're gonna get the Netflix in like 5 years and he's just gonna be like, yeah man, I blew up the whole damn sport.
It is astounding to think about. Like I think it was the great Charlie Pierce who once wrote that small change can bring down big money. And this would be, I mean, Connor Stallions blowing up Michigan football and college sports would really be a hell of a capper for 2023.
Well, anyway, we didn't get a ruling during our thing.
No, it's coming eventually, probably, right?
Doesn't really change our opinions.
No.
My ultimate goal here, because all I want is chaos, is Harbaugh. They lose the stay. Harbaugh sits out 3 weeks. They win all three games. As they defeat Ohio State, snow starts falling over the big house. The crowd is going crazy, and Harbaugh, now his suspension ended at the final gun, comes marching down the tunnel.
Goes to midfield and does snow angels in the snow. Yeah.
Carried as a chariot down. Tom Brady becomes interim coach.
That's
what I'm rooting for.
Can Jack Harbaugh be the coach again? I think he kind of almost get fired for his interim coaching?
He was the interim coach, but he's saying he was rooting for Bowling Green because he went there.
Yeah.
This is literally the craziest this whole season. My God.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. It's everybody's like, what side are you on? I'm like, I'm on the side of mayhem. That's it. Give me more. Give me more.
There's been a lot, but I do think we can ask for more.
I think more is coming too. I think more is coming.
Yeah. I agree.
We're going to see more. This is a Pandora's box has been opened. And for what? I don't know.
Nuclear options are still available.
Nuclear options were attempted. Other nuclear, but there's more nukes coming. There are angry people there. I mean, I hope Tony Petitti thought it through. Must be, he's playing three-dimensional chess on me if he did. Because I don't see where this worked out. I don't know. I don't know what we accomplished, but hey.
Oops. Will Harbaugh be on the sideline at noon Saturday? Who knows?
Who knows? We don't know. All right. We're going to let our producers put this thing to bed. Thank you all for listening. Emergency pod. We gave it all we had. Keep subscribing. If you don't listen to us regularly, I don't know why you're not, but you should be. So subscribe to our podcast. Talk to you later.